Welcome to the Work, Wealth, and Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole, and this podcast is your guide to start creating a lifestyle by design. From entrepreneurship, money and finance, taxes and residencies, and everything in between, this show highlights the nuances of a true global citizen lifestyle. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Work, Wealth, and Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole, and in today's episode, I sit down with Derek Smith. Derek himself is a public speaking coach known for his distinct voice and amazingly engaging presence and original ideas. He himself has 15 years of experience. He has over 5,000 live and virtual events that he has hosted in total. He is a public speaking coach, and he leads private international communities in order to improve their public speaking. Now, I have personally been to quite a few of Derek's private sessions. They are so extremely beneficial, but not only is he an entrepreneur who completely carved out his own path in this industry, he's also been a full-time digital nomad for many years. So many more than just the 2 or 3 years that many of the nomads, myself included, have been. Derek really had experience in the nomadic and the travel game before most people even knew what that was and before the term digital nomad even arose. In this episode, we talk about travel and the digital nomad lifestyle, entrepreneurship, and also about how spirituality plays into entrepreneurship and his success as an entrepreneur. So let's dive into the episode. Welcome to the podcast, Derek. I am so excited to have you on. I'm so excited to hear more about your story and your journey. You definitely know quite a bit about me from your amazing weekly events, which I'm sure we'll dive into what those look like. But Derek, let's start off by sharing a little bit more about your story, your journey. You've been nomadic for quite some time. So let's hear about how that came about.
Well, thanks a lot for having me, Nicole. It's a pleasure to be finally here on your podcast with you. I started my journey well over a decade ago. I know I have a youthful looks, but rest assured I'm much older than I looked. I've been on the road for years, and it all began, without going into it too deep. I think I started moving when I was 6 months old when my family was traveling around, where ultimately as I kind of grew into an adult, I just kept on moving. I've been to a lot of the countries that you would expect a lot of digital nomads to find themselves in. And because my primary profession is an event host and master of ceremonies, I'm often on a microphone in front of a group of people. So in all of those major digital nomad hubs around the world, I have found myself from Mexico to Thailand to even here in Portugal, which is where I am right now. I have found my way to all of the major hubs and hosted events and have been kind of the center of certain communities along the way throughout the world. So it's been, like I said, a little over a decade that I have been traveling around. And yeah, it's just like you know, it's a great life to have. I love it here.
I had no idea about any of that. So I want to dive into some of that. So what was the nomadic journey and lifestyle like? I'm going to say pre-lockdown. I think that's when a lot of people really started thinking about the possibility that they could work abroad, but you have been doing it for almost a decade before that. So I know a few other nomads who also have been doing it for quite a while before, but I'm curious, what is your experience and how was it different then versus now when it feels like everyone and literally their mother are wanting to become nomadic?
No, you're absolutely right. I think one of the things which may or may not answer your question, but it's almost as though like in the early days, we didn't call ourselves digital nomads. We were just people traveling the world. We had remote working jobs. We're capable of sustaining a life while being on the road. And then, as you say, you know, then there were some lockdowns and then we all, not all, but a lot of us began to just sort of embrace the title because we were that. That is the communities we kind of mingled with. And, you know, Nicole, if I may, I might actually hit you back with a question. Now, whether or not this is a true answer, it is the one that I like to say all the time. So I ask the question to a lot of digital nomads. It's like, what do you think the one thing a digital nomad has in common with all other digital nomads?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. I guess there's so many things, but I guess for me, I'm curious what your response would be. For me, what really comes front of mind would be the ability to work from anywhere, because that is really the starting point. And then you can carve out what your specific nomadic lifestyle will look like. But you have to have some sort of remote job, business, something like that online.
Yeah, for sure. And again, I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that, but it's true. That's a great answer as well. For my world, my digital nomad communities, the one thing, the only thing we truly had in common was that we all spoke English. That's it. That was the idea. If I wanted to meet with people, I'd engage with the digital nomad community so I knew I could actually communicate with them. Again, I'm Canadian. You know, that's where I was born. So I speak French and English, but English is that thing that kind of unlocked the doors for me to be able to travel around, meet new friends, meet new colleagues. And so, especially as an event host, for me, I was traveling to countries where English wasn't the first language spoken by the residents. So the guy who would step up on stage with a microphone, I'd blow people away. But like, wow, that guy really has mastered the language. And, you know, little did they realize, you know, well, actually, it's kind of the only language I speak. So for me, my digital nomad groups were because I was looking for people who spoke my language, literally. And so that's why digital nomadism, as time moved on, I started to realize, yeah, if I'm going to be the nucleus of any community, I might as well be the nucleus of a digital nomad community because I get professional experience there. Plus, also, I'm able to communicate with them effortlessly and we have a lot more in common that way. So I just wanted to just plant that little seed in your head as to what makes a digital nomad relevant to you or what makes a digital nomad community relevant. For me, it's speaking English.
Yeah, that's really interesting to get your perspective on that. I guess I've never really considered that, even though... when I go to almost every single country, and most of them are not Western countries most of the time, English is the common denominator. English is how I find acquaintances, friends, other nomads, co-working, like it's all through English. So you work in public speaking and you work with a lot of those who do not speak English natively. So share a little bit about how you got into that, because it sounds like that correlates with the beginning of your nomadic journey.
Precisely, exactly. So it kind of piggybacks off that idea. I love the idea of working with international people, small business owners, medium-sized business owners from around the world. So that one thing that I did indeed hook into was that I work with non-native English speakers, public speakers, people who need, of course, if you're a business owner, you need to be able to speak and express your passion, express your business. And so I tapped into those groups of people where English wasn't their first language. Therefore, they didn't have the same amount of confidence or didn't really know what their message needed to be in English. So I helped people with that. And so I, without getting into too deep, you know, because you've engaged in a lot of my practice events and my brainstorming events, that's what we do. We bring people from around the world where, you know, they might not be as fully themselves in English. I help them break out and kind of, you know, break some of that rust off and make them speak a language that isn't as comfortable for them to speak and then, you know, help perfect that with them.
Okay, I want to dive into the business and entrepreneurship side with you and how that started. I'm trying to figure out the best way to phrase this because I don't really think there's a word for this. So I find that I don't feel completely myself and that your identity somewhat changes. And actually, my partner speaks three languages fluently. And I find it really interesting because when I hear him speak Spanish, which is his native language, he sounds very confident. But then he tries to do something business related in English. And although we speak English every single day and he's excellent in English, you actually met him, Derek. It becomes sort of a different identity. So I'm curious what your take is on that, working with a lot of non-native English speakers day in, day out, and if that's something you've experienced.
Well, no, I actually experienced that phenomenon in the last month, believe it or not. My partner specifically came up to me on a Saturday night about 4 weeks ago, and she said, Derek, why don't you ever speak French? And I said, well, who am I going to speak French with? And she says, you can speak French to me. And I said, well, you speak French? She goes, yeah. And then for the next 4 hours, Nicole, her and I only spoke French with one another. It was mind-blowing because it was a completely different type of conversation for a relationship to have. There was no sarcasm. All we were doing is just like complimenting each other, like, you have nice hair. No, you have nice hair, or whatever it was. But it was so elementary and so basic that it was kind of like, oh my gosh, it was like a new relationship was forming out of this new language we were speaking. So I totally understand what you mean. So when it comes to business and speaking English, it's the same thing. A lot of people, especially today, are leveraging tools like AI tools, ChatGPT. So a lot of non-native English speakers are drafting up scripts that are technically, yes, in English, but when you actually hear the words, you're like, I got news for you. Only robots talk like that. So they still need to kind of inject a human touch into their English speaking. And just to wrap this all around, Nicole, that's why it's so imperative that people practice these. If you're going to use a ChatGPT script, you're going to need to practice it and make sure you realize, yeah, some of those words are a little unnecessary, or better yet, some of them are a little bit marketing or a little bit too much sales.
It's funny you mentioned that, because it's immediately bringing to mind a cold email that I received a few days ago, I guess. And it was somebody from a non-English speaking country. And I could tell, you know, it was great English grammatically, but I could tell it was, let's just say, too professional. And I think there was definitely some AI in practice there, which is fine, you know. And if you want somebody to work for you and they're pitching a service, then you want them to be professional, but you also don't know how they're going to truly be and what their true language level is and their true perspectives until you get on a call with them, because just through using AI, it's a completely different feel.
For sure. And, you know, I think, Nicole, you and I could do the same thing. Let's just say for some reason, one day someone approaches you and says, hey, Nicole, we're going to need you to submit a proposal for a Russian company and you need to write it in Russian. You and I would probably lean into a ChatGPT or an AI tool and just assume what we did and submit it was gold. And the truth is, you got to be really careful. These tools are not providing you with actual words that we wouldn't use on a daily basis. You know, you'll notice there's already a lot of ChatGPT-isms being used. Unlock, unleash, like a lot of these terms that are dreams and journey and these words that are being popped out by ChatGPT regularly. So it's very obvious when you can read AI created content, but also it's even more obvious when they verbalize it and you're like, oh, nobody talks like that. So you got to be really careful out there.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if you've ever had the experience in business. Like, I actually need to use Spanish for some of the clients that I work with. And so I do Google Translate, which, like, if you translate just English to Spanish, if you it makes sense. But again, it's like a ChatGPT situation. So thankfully, my partner speaks Spanish. If he didn't, I would probably hire somebody just to proofread like a simple email, because he will look at it. And even though it's translated directly from Google Translate, he's like, no, 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 no. And, you know, they have like ustedes, which is more formal. And so there's so many small details that it will never catch.
Right, Nicole. And actually, to even kind of piggyback on that again, it's just like, that's also why a lot of these new digital nomads out there, these new remote workers who are deciding to go out into the world, maybe start their own business. You got to remember, like, Rome was not built by one person. It's simply as though you need to swing into Fiverr, say, excuse me, do you mind reviewing this proposal and just updating this? You need to leverage other people's services, because we do not all have the skills innately in us. We need to kind of have a small team around us. So I'm just kind of warning people that if you are looking to start something as you go out into the world, remember that you will not be able to do it all on your own. You're going to need people to proofread some of your stuff if you're not a writer. But I mean, just as like, you need someone to review your design if you're not a designer. So make sure that you leverage these tools where, you know, in the gig economy, where you can get people to look something over for $10. Like, yeah, that's a worthy investment, because otherwise you might be submitting something that's kind of cringeworthy.
Yeah, and you probably are if it's going like direct from a Google Translate or an AI. So on that note, I want to speak about your business and entrepreneurial journey. It sounds like when you started out as being nomadic, you potentially had a remote job. So I'm curious what that transition looked like for you. A lot of those listening are either wanting to start their own business or wanting to find remote work online. I personally am all about, and I think you are probably too, all about starting your own business in an area that you're passionate about, because what I have found is that is the only way to make it sustainable. I've had businesses in the past that I have started and, you know, they went well, but it wasn't sustainable. It was difficult to get clients and to create content around it because it wasn't something that I was truly passionate about. So please share a little bit more detail about your journey, what that has looked like, and why you chose the field that you are in for your business.
It's a great question, because you make me reflect on it for a second. It's true. Actually, my journey was a little bit of a bumpy start, which is pretty common for a lot of people. you know, my background's in public relations and communication. So clearly I have the gift of gab. What I wanted to do, like a lot of us, is I wanted to travel. And of course, my monkey brain thought to itself, well, what am I going to do about that? Like, okay, I'll work in the travel industry. So in my early 20s, I was a travel agent because I thought that would give me access to the world, which between you and I, Nicole, I was a terrible travel agent. Even worse, I then transferred my PR and communication skills, and my first business that I started up was in the travel industry, you know, supporting travel writers and travel photographers and getting them gigs so that way they can go to a resort or a country and then write an article or take some photos. And I would negotiate the fee. And so I would take a commission for that. That business ran for a few years, but it didn't fulfill me. It was almost like a means to an end. And so I thought in my brain, well, that's how you travel. You work in the travel industry. And now you realize in the modern day, your job doesn't have to have anything to do with travel. It's simply something you do. So as my journey kind of progressed, I leaned more into my speaking, my event hosting, my emceeing work while traveling around the world. And as I alluded to earlier, my journey found me being planted on stages with microphones in my hand as that English speaker who was clearly capable of speaking circles around people because English was not their first language from an international perspective. So for me, that's how I began to sort of develop my business, was because I was the oddball out. I was the guy who spoke really well at English and was capable of communicating clearly. And so from that, that kind of helped me stand out. So for me, that's kind of what got me to where I am today, which is I'm a public speaking coach. And this is something I've now been doing for almost a decade, you know, where I help people just be able to hone that message, make sure we say fewer words than more words, you know, keep it concise is essentially what we do. And by doing such, you know, I have found myself starting out pretty slowly, but as the years progressed, as lockdowns happened, and now suddenly the influx of now remote entrepreneurs, I'm in a great position. I've been in a great position to be able to say, hey, listen, I've been doing this for years now. I can help you make sure that your message is very clear on a podcast, is very clear on a webinar, you know, and not saying more words than you need to. So I know that was kind of a roundabout way of just saying my journey kind of fits me like a glove because, again, my monkey brain first said, I want to travel. Does that mean I need to be in the travel industry? No. Instead, I'm just going to stick with what I do best, communication, and help others with that topic in an international environment. And it's been working out pretty good for me, Nicole.
Are you interested in becoming a global citizen and living a lifestyle by design in a country that aligns with you? If this is a lifestyle that you're seeking to create, we can help. Whether it be multiple residencies, citizenships, bank accounts, trust or company formations, we operate in 30 plus of the most tax-friendly jurisdictions around the globe to get you structured properly. Head to the link in the show notes to learn more and to get your global citizen journey underway today.
That's a great message. And that, I think we can get so caught up in, especially I would say maybe pre-lockdown, I think it's more common now to see the potential in online business and online opportunities. But when I started, it was 2017. And all I knew was that, similar to you, I wanted to travel. I wanted to go abroad. Okay, what's the fastest way to do that? What I really wanted was to be nomadic, but I didn't know that that was a possibility. Derek, where were you back then in 2017? But
where was I in 2017? That's a great question. I was actually in Chiang Mai. So back then, I was in northern Thailand in the mountains. I was Derek Smith, local celebrity, which again is a term they didn't make up. It was a term I made up and then it somehow just stuck. I was able to, again, it was that great opportunity for me to speak English on Thai stages, Thailand stages, where people were just like, wow, that guy is great to be able to get our message out to the English audience that's out there, which actually even led in 2017 where I was given a job as a disc jockey on FM radio. I'd never been on radio in my life, Nicole, but again, my English opened doors for me because next thing I know it, I was hosting the Drive Home show on an FM radio station in northern Thailand in the mountains. I mean, it was an awesome job, like super cool. And all I had to do was, what did I do best? Which is, of course, talk a lot, you know?
I love that you were in Chiang Mai because, so I was like, how can I get out of Canada? How can I travel? And so the only way that I saw was to teach English. And so I went to China, not too far, I guess, from Chiang Mai. Maybe I should have gone to Chiang Mai. I definitely, that was a totally nomad hub and still is, but I had no idea about the nomad world and scope of this world at the time. For me, similar to, it sounds like you starting the travel agent, that was my journey where I was like, what can I do to travel? And that was to, I mean, quite honestly, I don't know if you had the same experience, but I was just doing the same that I would have done in Canada, which was going to an office, having a 9-to-5. I was just doing it in China. And so after I stayed there for 4 years and I realized like, this is not fulfilling. This is not what I want. And then COVID presented other opportunities.
Well, actually, and Nicole, that's an interesting thought because I want to remind you, I want to remind everybody, this is what I learned years ago, is that you kind of only know what you know. If you came to my hometown, if you came here, I'm located on Madeira Island in Portugal right now. And if you said, Derek, can we go out to dinner tonight? I would only know the, 10 restaurants I know, and I'd recommend one of those. But there are more than those available. And so we only know what we know. So that's why people tend to think in terms of what they can imagine, like, maybe I move to China, maybe I get an office job, or maybe I, do the thing that I know. And so, just to kind of give you a little story on my end, before I found myself transferring into public speaking coaching, I took 3 months off and I just said, oh my, I need a break from all of this that I'm doing. How is it I can do something different? And that's when I said, well, how's this? Let's just stop working for 3 months. And instead, that's how I found myself in Thailand. I actually went, I did Muay Thai boxing for 3 months and I just read books in my hammock. Now, you might think that, Derek, that's not much of a strategy for work. Well, believe it or not, next thing I know it, someone taps me on the shoulder, is like, hey, actually, there's a great opportunity over here where they need a communications guy. And then next thing I know it, I'm now legally working in the country. So I guess the point is the job found me, but it's difficult to take that leap of faith if you only know what you know. So I guess the message here is simply, just note that probably your imagination is limited and you do just need to sometimes take a leap of faith and go do something to realize that just putting yourself in a different environment could very well lead to an opportunity that you had never even considered was an option. So, I mean, to anyone out there who is thinking about just making a move, and if you do have a little bit of a runway, even just a few extra $100, well, take a leap of faith in yourself and just get out there and watch as opportunities could present themselves.
I love that. So I have two more questions for you, but this one popped up as you were speaking and it's a little bit off topic, but as an entrepreneur and as a very motivated digital nomad, I'm curious your perspective on this. So I have just actually recently been getting more into the world of spirituality in the sense of law of attraction, manifestation. And I know that so many successful people are in a similar world. So I'm curious, and this is not something, that I am an expert on by any means, but it is something that I have been learning slowly a little bit more about. I'm curious if that is something that you believe in, if that is something that has had any play in your journey.
Absolutely. Undeniably it has. I think everybody finds it in their own time as we become more developed adults as time moves on. A lot of people engage with, law of attraction through goal setting. That's usually the first step. I mean, a lot of people will identify at some point that this thing here, the pen, is probably the most evolutionary tool we've ever created, where it can actually give you the ability to engage with whatever you want to call it, the spiritual side, the source, some people call it God, whatever it is, to shine through you and get the message across through your hands while you write out the message with your pen. Yes, I think everyone has a different journey when it comes to their spiritual side, but it's only because in the Western world, where a lot of digital nomads start out before departing, it has probably been in the best interest of a lot of the, let's just call governments and, educators or the people that have brought us up to hold back that kind of power. And we learn that when we leave. And we go elsewhere and we find out, oh, wait, they teach these things in other countries. Why didn't they teach that to us in our Western country? So as you become a digital nomad, you'll start hearing a lot more terms that you're not familiar with in your home that are equally true to what life has in store for you and realizing that you actually have the power to control anything you want. I mean, to be rather honest, I mean, like I said in my previous story where I just decided to just say, I'm not going to work for a little while. I'm just going to go sit in a hammock, do a little exercise and see what shakes out. Well, I mean, I still had goals in my life. And guess what? During that rest time, while I was sitting in the hammock reading my books, the universe was finding its way a little bit closer to me along the process. Guess what? When I was ready, I found it. So long story short here, Nicole, is that it's only when you break free and you go out into the world, do you realize that there's other ways of thinking, there's other forms of education, and there are other powers at play that we are not taught about in our home countries.
So powerful, Derek. Can you share? It sounds like you've had some really interesting experiences being in touch with this side in different cultures. Can you share what one of those experiences outside of Western culture as a nomad, a full-time traveler has looked like for you?
I mean, I could probably talk about it for days, but I'll keep it short. I mean, one of my first engagements was being able to do even a silent meditation for a couple of weeks, just being silent for 2 weeks in a monastery. I believe at the time I was somewhere along the border of Vietnam. And when I did that, I remember that kind of gave me a different perspective on sort of what the power was within me. And then, of course, reading a few more books, talking to friends. That's when I actually found an opportunity for myself to kind of lock myself away for a few, well, a few weeks, really. In my experience, it was over a month. I locked myself away and I gave myself the opportunity to meditate, to be able to listen to myself. And then also trusting myself, which takes a little bit of time for people to get into. Remember, when you're younger, people don't tend to trust their gut because they don't realize that all of the answers you have are already inside of you. So as you age and you realize, hey, well, I listened to myself that time. I wonder if I listen to myself again, will it work out the same way? It's like, yeah, you already have all the answers, but you kind of have to have maturity to understand that if you can quiet the mind and listen to yourself, your answers are already very much there for you. So a lot of people ask themselves, you know, I don't have a purpose, or I don't know where I'm supposed to go next. It's like, well, if you do just take a deep breath, go out into the woods, sit in a tree, stay there for just a couple hours and just listen to yourself, the answer is there whether you choose to listen to it or not. It's trying to scream its way over to you. And I've had that experience time and time again. And now, in my, you know, advanced age, it's like, I don't even question that stuff. If ever I'm in a scenario where I'm lost, I literally just take a moment, take a breath, listen to what I got going on inside of me. And the answer without fail reveals itself just like that. If that answers your question, I mean, I've had a lot of opportunities to take that time, just be by myself. And again, shut out the noise a little bit so I can understand what message is trying to get out of me. Because we all do have a purpose, whether we believe it or not. It's just a matter of whether or not you intend to pursue that purpose. And for people like us, especially digital nomads, we are all almost en route to our purpose because we've taken the first leap, which is, okay, you know what? I'm going to sell my things. I'm going to pack my bag. I'm going to get on an airplane. It's like, great. The universe is already saying to you, all right, let's go. Where other people, and I'm not criticizing anyone who's comfortable with their, you know, status quo. But if you stay in the status quo, you can expect you're not going to get a lot of great results. But, and this is where I'll end it, Nicole, it's very possible that status quo was exactly what your purpose was in the first place. So best of luck to you. But for people like us, we're digital nomading, we do digital nomadism and travel is kind of our inside of us. That's just showing, hey, the universe is like, hey, thanks. Thanks for coming along. Let's get going. We're going to point you in the right direction. And I think that's what I've learned along the way is that that's my spiritual path. It's like, I always know when in doubt, I can rely on myself and trust myself to just listen in and sort of take the journey from there.
I love that. I did not expect us to go in that direction, but I absolutely love that because I think that for, as you stated, you know, for so many nomads, if not all nomads, we have a higher purpose and we really need to leave our home countries to figure out, at least I know for me, like Canada was not where I was meant to be. If you know, what is it? Astrocartography. There were certain lines that run through certain countries and I cannot read those lines, but I had somebody read them for me once. And she said one of the more negative lines almost ran directly through my hometown. And I just thought that was very interesting. You're totally on the right track there. I would love to dive into that for so much longer with you because you have so, it sounds like you have so much insight and so many years of experience in that. But I have one last question for you. So you have spoken on the biggest nomad stages. Please remind me of what some of those are, but share what some of those are and how you landed yourself there.
Great question. I even have to reflect myself on how did I find myself in this position. Yeah, it just through travel, I have just found myself, and you got to imagine though, I have put myself in a position where I am a professional voice to some extent. So when in doubt, they kind of just look at me and they're like, hey, that guy can talk, bring him up on stage. So as time progressed, you know, I began to find myself being asked to partake as the host of festivals. And again, this was out again in Mexico, in Southeast Asia. I'd get called upon to just be the guy who introduces the acts, you know? And this is not a thing I had intended to pursue, but it was something I could do. So I just said, sure, I'd do it. And then the next thing I know, the nomads sort of just scooped me up. And then they began to say, hey, Derek, can you host our conference? Can you host our seminar? Can you host our webinar? Can you come up? Can you fly to this particular city and do it? You know, like, let's just say even in the last few months, you know, I've been in Eastern Europe. I've been in Bulgaria. I've been in England. I've been in France. I'm based in Portugal. So I do a lot of events here in Portugal. Running Remote's happening up in Lisbon in a couple months. I'll be hosting that. So for me, I'm very fortunate because I understand the pulse of the digital nomad lifestyle because I live it and I travel it. But I also know a lot of the key players along the way, which, I mean, Nicole, whether you've identified it or not, there are thousands and thousands of us out there. But a lot of us, as time progresses, we are each other's network. You know, when in doubt, if I need a service that Nicole provides, I'm going to contact Nicole over somebody who lives in, let's just say, your hometown, because I know that you and I have a little bit more in common. You understand the kind of pulse I'm looking for. And so I am fortunate that when I host all of these big events, I'm reunited with so many people that I've now known for, as I said, over a decade. We are a big network, but we are still kind of a small group of people in some regard, you know? And it's an amazing group of people. And every job, title, every type of person exists in the digital nomad world. I can take it from me. I literally get a chance to shake hands and kiss them all the time. I was about to say kiss babies, but I don't think there are any digital nomad babies yet, but maybe there is. Who knows? Maybe there are. But you know, so I get a chance to meet and greet with all these people on a regular basis, and the resources are in abundance in the digital nomad world.
Because I have joined quite a few of your weekly sessions, which are so fun. I love them. You're an amazing host. You know that my goals for 2024, one of them was networking. I spoke about the three of them. So you know what they are, and some of your network knows what they are, but one of them was networking. So is networking with specifically the digital nomad community really what brought you closer to these opportunities in order to get on these stages? Or would you attribute something else along with networking to the success?
Well, I would love to say, Nicole, some of it has something to do with talent, but let's be honest, it is networking. In some regard, you will want to, if anyone's out there and they're starting from zero, I would encourage them to attend one of the events. By attending just any one of these major events that's out there, you will walk away with, well, depending on how many hands you shake, you'll be walking away with a wide variety of new contacts along the way. So for me, I think the thing is, it's engaging in real life with these people, going and actually physically shaking hands with them. Like, that's the thing. During the lockdown, as we kind of alluded to at the beginning of this, we were all subject to just networking remotely. Well, guess what? We're back out of the house again. And there's still so much value in being able to attend one, maybe two events if you can. And just realize the crossover and who everybody knows one another. And if you are somebody who's capable of putting on a smile and showcasing your value, there is no doubt there are opportunities out there for you, for sure. So for me, yeah, networking plays a huge role, which when I say networking, it's networking events. And then, of course, I'm going to wink, wink, a little bit of talent, too.
It's definitely talent. Absolutely. You're amazing at what you do. So, Derek, please share where anyone listening can find you.
Very nice. Thank you so much. And just so that way, anyone who is listening is curious about perfecting or even mastering their public speaking to some degree. We all have passions. We all have businesses. And at some point or another, you're going to need to communicate those messages to people, whether it's on a podcast, a webinar, a meeting, anything. You know, there's thousands of ways you can express yourself in the modern day, especially as we are, a lot of us, remote working. So if that's something that you are ready to engage with, I offer a wide variety of coaching services to help people out. Yes, I provide video coaching courses, but I also provide brainstorming sessions, small group brainstorming sessions to help build some structure around what you're trying to say. Because when in doubt, sometimes What people just need are strong 2 minutes to express who they are, what they do, what their mission is, and their call to action. And being able to say that stuff habitually is so invaluable. And that's why I also offer practice sessions, live open mic events. And we're doing these weekly where people come in, they get 2 to 5 minutes to perform whatever it is they want to do, just by being able to receive feedback from those in the audience. And just as a final piece of the puzzle, everything I do is private, which means that I'm not publicly posting your practice of your public speaking. So that way you can embarrass yourself in front of the world. Instead, you make your mistakes in front of my group of people. So that way when you head out into the world, you're all set and you're ready to go. So if people want to reach out to me and inquire about what we're working on in 2024, I encourage you to check me out at contact@MrDerekSmith.com. I'll say it again. That's contact@MrDerekSmith.com.
Amazing. And I can attest to your work and the community that you bring together through your work. And it is amazing. And it's so beneficial, but it's also so much fun at the same time.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, it's like, it's exactly right. It's like a lot of people get nervous about speaking. They're like, oh, I don't want to have to do that. It's like, I think what we do in my community is like, we make it fun because you try different things, see what works, see what feels right. And then also figuring out a way to like leverage the square that you are in. And when I say the square, I'm referring to like, you know, the Zoom rectangle you're in or the Google Meet square you live in. It's like, how can you use all of that space and be able to get closer to the camera, zoom back from the camera, point, you know, ask the audience to raise their hand with a question, you know? So like, there's lots of different ways you can engage the environment that people haven't yet really mastered. And it's my mission to help people figure that out.
Yeah, I love that. You know, in the day and age we live in, there is so much online conferencing happen. So I really love that analogy of utilizing the most of your square and utilizing every single pixel to your benefit.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like I said, I love my job. I love the people I get to work with. And again, it's all an international group of people too. So even I'm learning new things about the world, even to this day, even though I've been traveling for years, I still am constantly learning new things because of the people I get to spend time with. So I love it.
You've just listened to the Work, Wealth, and Travel podcast. If anything from this episode resonated with you, I would appreciate if you share this podcast on your socials. And of course, be sure to tag me. And don't forget to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for joining me on this global citizen journey, and I'll see you in the next episode.